sufficient for you, my friend, for his strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint, John. You're a blessing, my friends. I appreciate your gift to the body of Christ here, your book, Costly Grace. And, friend, this is a extremely important book. It is going to help understand what today seems like a great mystery, this matter of grace. Your gift is $16 or more to Save America Ministries. We'll put it in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. Get it on our website, saveus.org. Make sure you get those Jewish calendars. Your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries. And can you consider, at this time, as the Lord would lead you, becoming a partner? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, of course, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of John Loftus. But if we don't have John, we'll go into the background of what we're talking about and do open line. But right now we're having some difficulty getting John, although we've had him on several times and really enjoyed him because his message is so important. And it's especially important today, because, of course, this is December 7th. And it was 69 years ago when, of course, America was shocked to find out that the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor and almost 3,000 sailors, military personnel, died that day. And, of course, that was, of course, according to President Roosevelt, the day of infamy, and that was what brought us into the Second World War. Well, of course, in the years that have followed, it's become increasingly obvious that President Roosevelt knew that the attack was coming. In fact, he did everything he could to encourage the attack. They specifically left the fleet at Pearl Harbor over the objection of Admiral Richardson, who was commander of the Pacific Fleet. And Admiral Richardson said, if we leave it there, it'll certainly just invite an attack by the Japanese. And, of course, Admiral Richardson was fired, and Admiral Kimmel was put in charge of the fleet there. And he was, of course, withheld the information the attack was coming on Pearl Harbor. They knew the attack was coming, and they left the men there to die. Now, how can we know this is true? Well, it took a long, long time for the 50 years before you could actually get any of the records from that time. They were all sealed in the name of national security. Oh, we have to protect that. We can't let the wicked Japanese know what we knew before the war. And so it was 50 years later when Robert Stinnett, and Robert Stinnett was a researcher, and he was able to get the information out of the National Archives that proved definitely that everything was a plan. We left the fleet there so the Japanese would attack. We did everything we could to antagonize the Japanese. We had put an embargo on them so they couldn't buy oil or natural resources anywhere in the world. We were already at war with Japan. And the only question was how we were going to get into the war and get the Japanese to fire the first shot. In fact, when I went back to the Sterling Library at Yale University, I went through Secretary of War Stimson's diary. And there in the diary on the 25th of November, he talked about going to the White House. And President Roosevelt said, well, the Japanese will probably attack next Monday. But, of course, the only question is, how will we get the Japanese to how will we get into the war and get the Japanese to fire the first shot? We have those pages. We make them available to anybody who wants to read them. It was all left there, and they left those boys to die because they needed an excuse to get into the war. And some people justify that by saying, but, I mean, Hitler was so terrible, we had to get into the war. What most people do not know is what John Loftus would have told us this evening if we'd been able to get hold of him. and that is that actually it was American corporations that had placed Adolf Hitler in power and actually were building the war materials for him, and that John Loftus was really a very fascinating individual. I've wanted to get him on for many years, and basically since he wrote The War, a story of the secret war against the Jews. But John was actually an idealistic young lawyer. About 1979, he went to work from the Justice Department, and his job was to track down the Nazi war criminals. Well, he then, of course, was given the top secret clearance, three levels above top secret, and he actually was able to accumulate a great deal of information about what was really going on. And what he found, among other things, is that American corporations, about 100 of them, were over there working, building the war weapons for Adolf Hitler before the war and during the war. And, of course, you're never going to hear this anyplace, but you read this in his book, America's Nazi Secret. After the war, they were all arrested and then immediately quietly released so the American people would never learn the truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're going to have to do open lines this evening because we can't get hold of our regular scheduled guest. But his name is John Loftus, and he has a wonderful story to tell, a very, very important story. And John certainly had access to the National Archives at the highest level. And, of course, basically, he was initially involved in tracking down the Nazi war criminals, or the people who actually, of course, collaborated with the Nazis. And, of course, he found that in a place called Belarusia, and most people don't even know what Belarusia is, but it's a subsidiary of Russia. And here, well, of course, there were a number of people that the leaders of the country went over to the Nazis. They justified it by saying they hated the communists, but they supervised a systematic murder of almost 2 million Jews. And they carried out this mass assassination, this mass murder, on a scale never before seen. And, of course, most people have never heard of this. What was even more amazing was that these Nazi war criminals, they were Russians, but they were Nazis. They either worked with the Gestapo, they worked with the Nazis. They supervised killing several million people in Belarusia. And that at the end of the Second World War, these people, instead of being arrested and tried as war criminals, were allowed to come to the United States and settle in New Jersey and live out the rest of their lives there. There was a community there of these Nazi collaborators. Of course, they would have been very unwelcome had they stayed there when the communists retook that part of the world. But, of course, these people were Nazi collaborators. Now, I don't like the communists, and I don't like the Nazis, but why in heaven's name would people in the American State Department bring these Nazi war criminals? And that's what they were. And there were not one, but there were a number of them. Why would they simply, over the objection of certain of our other government agencies, say that these were not Nazi war criminals? These were people who fought against the Nazis, and people highly placed in the American State Department, covered for these Nazi war criminals, and allowed them to come to America to get American citizenship and to live out the rest of their decrepit lives in New Jersey. And, of course, John actually tracked them down, and it's an amazing story. America's Nazi Secret is must reading for everybody, and this is one reason we're carrying the book. We think it's vitally important, and, of course, it's published by our good friend Chris Milligan, because the average publisher in the United States will not publish a book of this sort. Why? Because they don't want the American people to learn the truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're having difficulty getting our scheduled guest this evening. His name is John Loftus. His book, America's Nazi Secret, and it's an important book. We're carrying it. We think it's a very important book, and we're recommending this to everybody. Our telephone number is going to be open line, so we need to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we're just going to do open lines tonight, and we'll see if we get John on tomorrow evening, because I think his message is so important. But John Loftus had the highest level of security clearance you can have. He had three levels above top secret, and he then had the opportunity of going through the through the archives there in close to Washington, D.C., and actually finding all the evidence, and especially he found the evidence of the fact that not only the Nazi war criminals, those from Belarus, were allowed to come to America, but also that the Americans who built the war materials for Adolf Hitler. You remember Adolf Hitler, of course, was running a second-rate country in 1933 when he became the chancellor. Everything is focused on what a wicked man he was, and he was a wicked man, and he was deeply involved in the occult. But he had help from other people involved in the occult, because many of the major American corporations were controlled by people involved in the occult. And there were 100 of them over here, and they were actually building the weapons of war, the tanks, the planes, the trucks, the other things that Adolf Hitler used, that he needed, of course, for his military. And these were built by American corporations with help from American banks, specifically banks associated with the Bush family and the Rockefeller family. And, of course, many of the major German corporations were actually owned by the American banks through their subsidiaries in Switzerland that bought up the German corporations that were also building the war material. So both the German corporations and the American corporations were building up the war material for Adolf Hitler. And that's why we had a war. And, of course, at the end of the war, all this information was suppressed, and John Loftus, in his excellent book, America's Nazi Secret, points out that the over 130 Americans were in Germany all during the war, supervising, running the plants that built the war materials that killed American boys and British boys and Allied boys, and yet they were all released, and the information totally suppressed from the American people. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. The 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's got to be open lines because our regularly scheduled guest isn't here, but his book is so vitally important, America's Nazi Secrets, because it goes into the fact that it was American corporations, and of course he doesn't go into the fact that the British also helped, but the Americans and the Nazis and the English built up Adolf Hitler. They created the finest enemy that money could buy, just exactly as today we're doing everything we can to build up communist China and to build up communist Russia, the best enemies money could buy for the coming war. Hi, Herman. How are we doing?
Excellent topic. A few years ago, a book came out called IBM. That stands for International Business Machines, one of our large corporations. IBM and the Holocaust. It's about 700 or 800 or 900 pages long, and the author details the incredible story of how the German division of IBM was divested after the war began, how they put it into local German hands, and how the Nazis, after they invaded one country after the other in Europe, used the IBM proprietary machines. They were called tabulator machines that were originally developed for purposes of voting and keeping track of populations. They used those machines very, very effectively to round up, organize, and then mass murder the millions and millions of Jews and 12 million others that they eventually did away with.
Well, you know, this is so true, Herman. Basically, we see these programs on the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, and over and over and over again, how terrible the Nazis were, and they were terrible. And, of course, the question is, did they really kill 6 million Jews? Well, John Loftus, who's been through those secret records, thinks that they probably killed more than 6 million Jews. And, of course, they killed probably twice as many Christians, but we never talk about that. But we always have to focus the attention on the terrible Adolf Hitler, rather than the terrible people in this country who were financing Adolf Hitler. I'm talking about Prescott Bush. And, of course, Prescott Bush was even indicted after the war because of his association with one of the banks that was actually working with the Nazis. And, of course, the Rockefeller family through Exxon. In fact, Sydney, there's a book called Trading with the Enemy by Charles Hingham, or Hyam. Charles Higham, and he talks about even during the war, when, of course, the Nazi submarines were out torpedoing our ships and killing our soldiers, many of the troop ships, some of the troop ships went down with all the soldiers on them, and the Nazi submarines were doing that, were being fueled by Exxon Rockefeller tankers during the Second World War. But you can't let the American people know that. Oh, it's supposed to be, they're terrible, and we're so good. And it's just like during Vietnam. When we were financing the Russians, we were financing the North Vietnamese, we were financing the Viet Cong, they were killing our boys because the North Vietnamese, a little country like that, they couldn't possibly have kept the war going if we had constantly financed the best enemy money could buy. Go right ahead.
Barry Chamish, who you had on last night, he has posted on his website, and for anyone who's interested, he has an excellent, excellent blog. He gets information that very few people have and ahead of other people, but put a plug in for him. But he had an incredible article from a Canadian journalist, and it's quite lengthy, but the sum total, it's about the WikiLeaks incident. And he asked the question, who stands to benefit from the release of these hundreds of thousands of documents? And he goes down the list of usual suspects, the left wing, the ACLU, the communists, the liberals, the foreigners, this, that, and the other. Well, he effectively eliminates most of them one by one, and then he comes down to one nation. And guess what that nation is stands to gain from this whole scandal?
I'd say the United States. What is that? Am I right or wrong?
No, it's actually Israel.
Yeah, really, Israel? Okay.
Yeah,
why does he feel
that
Israel would be gain from that?
What has happened is because of our crazy foreign policy, we have been trying to force Israel to sign a suicide pact with the Muslims to basically give everything away. And then we, who are, of course, very trustworthy, look at Vietnam, look at many other countries. But anyhow, we will protect them. Well, through these leaks, it is now coming out that our politicians are a bunch of liars. They do not respect foreigners, even the diplomatic rights. Under Hillary Clinton's watch, and of course she's such a very concerned human being, they have been going through the personal garbage to find DNA for foreign dignitaries, even leaders, so that they can create a database for who knows what purpose in the future. The State Department, through her orders, and I'm sure before she even came on board, they were collecting the credit card numbers, iris scans, anything and everything from these foreign countries.
Hold that thought. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and it's open line because we don't have a regularly scheduled guest. But Herman's saying that we're collecting, of course, a DNA database on foreign agents, and basically, of course, we listen to all their telephone calls and read their emails and read their faxes. And if you doubt that, you need, of course, to go up on the Internet and read about Project Echelon, by which we monitor all of the correspondence and all of the conversations everywhere in the world. We do this in Europe, we do this in England, we do this in Russia, we do it in China. We do this all throughout the world. They're collecting dossiers on everyone. Every house in the entire world now has a GPS monitoring. They know where it is. That's why when we had the census, why they had the census workers come to your door, whether you saw it or not, they had a little GPS localizer so they could click that so they would be able to actually know the exact coordinates of your home. But this is not in America. It's all over the world, every cave, every little grass hut. Why would they be doing that? And then why would they be collecting DNA on foreign dignitaries? Why do they want everybody in America, to collect DNA on them as well? And all you need to do, we have a wonderful war tape set on just called China. And it tells what things were like in China back in 1946 and 1947. And the extensive web that the Chinese communists had of agents planted in everybody's homes, collecting information on them. They're doing that here today. Go right ahead, Herman.
Well, this particular journalist sums it up. He says that it's possible that this will actually have a somewhat positive outcome, because if more and more people, both here and around the world, realize that they are being systematically lied to and being manipulated, then maybe we have a chance.
Well, of course,
what do you think about that?
I think that that's very true. I mean, basically, people have to understand our government has been taken over by an invisible government. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. But they're using the financial and military power of the United States to control the world. Has anybody ever asked why we have troops stationed in Germany and Japan 65 years after the Second World War ended, in South Korea 55 years after the Second World War ended, troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world, over 720 foreign military bases? We're occupying all those countries. It's all about creating the world government. We're keeping corrupt leaders in power who go along with this idea of the world government. The one thing, of course, that may very well stop this is the fact that people throughout the world are going to put a stop to them. And they're saying, we're not going to go along with this. There are a lot of countries out there that would like to see our financial structure toppled, because that is the technique that they're using to enslave the world and to bring in corrupt officials. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. Go right ahead, Herman.
I'd like to ask about your newsletter. I receive it every month. It's fascinating. It's detailed. And maybe you have...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
The origins of the First World War, and if you would like to know more about it, you can go up to our website, radioliberty.com, and you'll find my two or three newsletters there, and we conclude it with a newsletter this month, the final newsletter, and the real background of the First World War. And you can't understand any of the things that go on at that time unless you understand that there is an occult movement, a secret occult movement, ties into the ancient secret societies and the mystery religions, and these ideas have been passed down through the generations, and of course they were codified in about 600 B.C. in the Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, but it is really, of course, the continuation of the beliefs of the ancient mystery religions, and of course they were carried over to the Greek philosophers of Pythagoras in about 550 B.C., picked up then by Socrates, and then by Plato about 350 B.C., and then by Aristotle, and then by Alexander the Great, who set out to unite the world using the secrets he had learned from Aristotle, had learned it from Plato, who had learned it from Socrates, had learned it from Pythagoras, and Pythagoras, 550 B.C., was deeply involved in the occult. He actually went to the Near East to study the mystery religions and to learn the secret knowledge that had been passed down for about 1,500 years at that time, basically going back to the time of Nimrod. And there had always been secret societies from the time of Nimrod, which was about 4,200 before the years before the birth of Christ. But you have to understand that then these ideas were actually transmitted forward to the Gnostics, which was Christian mysticism, and then to the Knights Templar about 1,100, 1,200s. And then, of course, to the Rosicrucians in the 1400s, to the Masons in the early, I think the Masons were organized in 1711, and then, of course, the Illuminati formed in 1776. And we carry this forward into the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission. And if you follow this, you'll find this constant thread that connects them all. So Cecil Rhodes' secret society could be related to the mystery religions. John Ruskin was the inspiration for it. The people who's joined the secret society. I came from the Society for Psychical Research in Great Britain, and they were all affiliated with people studying the occult. And then, of course, that movement then became the Milner Group, became the Round Table. And if you read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, on pages 951 and 952, he will tell you that the Council on Foreign Relations was established in New York in 1921, certainly as a front for the small round table group in the United States. And, of course, it was funded largely by J.P. Morgan, who was himself involved in astrology and the occult. And so now, of course, then the Council on Foreign Relations was the major force in the United States until 1972, when it was outed by Gary Allen in his little book, None Dare Call a Conspiracy. They actually put out 10 million copies of that. You used to be able to find them very, very easily at used bookstores, but they've all been bought up and largely destroyed. It's hard. I mean, we carry the book, but you don't find them in the used bookstores the way you're used to. 10 million copies. How could 10 million copies of None Dare Call a Conspiracy have largely disappeared? Why, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with a conspiracy who doesn't want the people to know. And so basically in 1973, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, its chairman, a man named David Rockefeller, organized the Trilateral Commission, which is the secret government of the United States today. And, of course, we simply give you the documentation on that in our newsletters. You can get them at radioliberty.com. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. It's open lines. We'd like to know what you'd like to talk about because we don't really have anything prepared. But we just think that December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. And you can't understand Pearl Harbor unless you understand they needed an excuse to get us into the Second World War. Adolf Hitler was a wicked man, but he was financed. He was financed by people in the United States. He was financed by people in Great Britain. And if you want to document that, you can read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And then, of course, to show how the Americans were helping Adolf Hitler, the book we carry two of the three books on that. One of them is America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus. Then, of course, we carry Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton. And, of course, you can see my taped DVD interview. It's actually a taped interview with Professor Sutton. It's called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. We did that before Tony Sutton passed away. And then, of course, the book Trading with the Enemy by Charles Higham. And those three books, you'll find out how American corporations build up Adolf Hitler. But if you have any question, give us a call. We can actually send you a copy of the letter that Ambassador William Dodd sent to... we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, I A regular guest did not show up, so it's open lines, and give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and if simply we're pointing out that most of what you think you know is not true, because there's an organized effort to confuse the American people. They use the History Channel and Discovery Channel, and some of the things there are very good. But there's always a message. They're molding your mind, they're forming your taste, they're creating your ideas, and they do this course very, very skillfully. They know exactly what they're doing, and they tell you how terrible Adolf Hitler was, and he was, and they tell you how terrible the atrocities were, and they were. But they don't tell you that at the end of the Second World War, of course, the American State Department, the Vatican, and certainly as people with MI6, and the OSS and later the CIA helped the Nazis, well over 10,000 of them, most of the vicious Nazis, escaped to South America, and of course their money was funneled out through the Vatican. And remember, there is a dark side to the Vatican. There's a lot of wonderful people in the Vatican, but there is a dark side. There, it's an organization within an organization, just as our government is an organization within an organization. And there's certainly a compartmentalization within the CIA, and I'm sure most CIA agents have no idea the things we're talking about. But go up on the internet and check out the Rat Line. And that is, of course, the method was used to actually ship well over 10,000 of the most vicious Nazi war criminals to South America and provide the money where they could live happily ever after. In fact, John Loftus has some excellent information on why, of course, the Jews did not track down more of the Nazis in South America, and they had to make a special deal. They had to make a special deal, with our government, and we gave them something in return for their promise. They would not go after all the other Nazis. Oh, they'd make a lot of fuss about it, pretend they were going to get them, but of course they were not allowed to. Well, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and give us a call right now. Let's go to James calling from South Carolina. Hi, James. How you doing?
Doing well.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I have often wondered why Hitler declared war on the United States after Pearl Harbor. It seems like a very stupid thing to have done.
You're absolutely right, and basically the reason that I believe he did it was because they had a treaty with the Japanese, and the treaty basically stipulated that if either country were attacked, that the other one would come to their defense. I do not know if that is the reason that Hitler did it, but if he had been smart, he would not have declared war on the United States, because we were looking for an excuse to go to war with Germany. And, of course, the war with Japan was simply the vehicle by which we were going to be able to get the American people into the war. Remember, the American people didn't want to go to the war. We'd already fought World War I when it ended. Everybody said, really, we heard all these atrocity stories. They were all lies. The stories about the little Belgian boys with their hands cut off and the Belgian women raped and their breasts cut off. It was all a lie. And everybody said, well, of course, the merchants of death produced the war. Suddenly it was all done for profit. We're never going to have another war because they're all done for profit. Well, the truth of the matter is, it was really done to bring about the world government, the League of Nations, but nobody ever understood that. But when it came time for World War II, nobody wanted to go into that war. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt lied to the American people. He said, he ran in 1940. I kept you out of war, I hate war. Eleanor hates war. Even little Fala hates war. That was his dog. And, he lied to the American people. He was already planning on taking us in because he wanted to get us into a war with Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler fell right into the trap. Anything else, James?
No, I always thought that the treaty between Japan and Germany had to do only if one or the other was attacked. Japan attacked the United States.
You're absolutely right. And under those circumstances, Hitler wasn't obliged. And it was really, but he did have the treaty. My understanding is you probably are correct. Under any circumstances, he made a terrible, terrible error. But remember, of course, there were powerful occult forces. You're looking for logic. Remember, Adolf Hitler was deeply involved in the occult. This is what people don't understand, and everything's been really done to suppress that information. In fact, Winston Churchill gave orders that this was not to be brought out at Nuremberg. The last thing they want for people to understand is that these powerful spiritual forces are at work. They were at work during the First World War, they were at work during the Second World War, and they're in total control of our government today.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's okay. Thank you.
Hey, God bless. Thanks very much. And let's go to Kurt, who's calling from Pacific Grove. And again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And the lines are suddenly lighted up. But hey, Kurt, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I've got a couple questions. One, you mentioned that American corporations that backed Hitler were into the occult. And I was wondering what corporations and what form of the occult they were into.
Well, I can't tell you what they were into, but I can tell you they were involved in the occult. General Motors. I can't tell you as much about that as I can about Ford Motor Company. Ford Motor Company was there. Henry Ford was involved in spiritualism, and he was a theosophist, and he owned Ford Motor Company. And certainly, but the people in General Motors were tied into the Council on Foreign Relations, which was involved in the occult. The people, Thomas Watson of IBM, was tied into the Council on Foreign Relations. And this occult concept was moving us towards world government. That was the purpose behind the Council on Foreign Relations, was to bring about the world government to fulfill this age-old plan of the ancient secret societies. And basically, of course, J.P. Morgan was involved with astrology. Andrew Carnegie was probably dead at that time, but he was involved in spiritualism. And when you go back this to the Rockefeller family, members of the Rockefeller family have been involved in the occult. And, of course, they had a great deal to do with the banking at that time and with the oil. The Bush family, certainly Prescott Bush, was involved with Skull and Bones, as was his George W. Herbert Walker Bush, and as was, I believe, Walker, a fellow named Walker. He was Skull and Bones, George W. Bush. Skull and Bones is a Luciferian organization. Does that answer your question?
That's one of them. Then the other question was, what about the Japanese involvement in the occult before the war?
Well, basically, of course, they were involved with emperor worship, and Emperor Hirohito was part of this whole world occult movement. He was a member of the Order of the Garter, which was a British occult organization dating back to the 1400s. And you can look this up on Google. They have a pretty good section there. And you could even, there's a section on Hirohito in the occult if they haven't taken it down. But Hirohito, of course, everybody, oh, he was such a nice guy. He was not a nice guy. He was deeply involved in the planning of the war, and basically he told the soldiers it was their duty to die or to commit suicide. And literally millions of Japanese committed suicide because of their loyalty to their occult ruler. And the whole idea of Shintoism was deeply involved in the occult. Okay?
Well, I was wondering if they had any... as you read history, it sure looks like there were occult organizations that many of the leaders in Japan must have belonged to. I've never found the proof of it.
I can't comment. I really don't know. Other than one thing I do know is that the Order of the Garter is an ancient occult society, and the Emperor of Japan, Hirohito, was a member of the Order of the Garter. He was forced to resign during the Second World War, and he went back afterwards. But this is really sort of where the black nobility, the rulers of the world, get together. And, of course, that the rulers of Europe, Hirohito, and, of course, this has to do with the British nobility as well. So the black nobility of Europe, the royal houses of Europe, and Hirohito all tied into these hereditary families, and they're still over there. And believe me, the British crown is deeply involved in this whole thing. The people are really pushing and organized Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, was Prince Charles. But nobody ever talks about that. He seems such a nice guy. Well, a lot of people think he killed Princess Diana, which he probably did. Or certainly she was murdered, because the CIA will not release the file that they have on there. They certainly, the father of the young man that died with Princess Diana tried to get the CIA file, and no way would they release the CIA file. Why won't they release the CIA file on who murdered Princess Diana? Well, I think it goes right to the royal family. That was the only way, because Prince Charles could marry his true love. And you have to understand that certainly Prince Edward's, King Edward, he was the King of England, was a Nazi sympathizer. That's why he was forced to resign. He was a Nazi. He was working there, and they don't like to talk about that. In fact, John Loftus talks about that in his book, America's Nazi Secret. And they called him from Great Britain and pleaded with him not to put in anything about King Edward being a Nazi sympathizer, the King of England, because they don't want to disillusion the English people. It's all a facade. Everything is a facade. Anything else, Kurt?
No, it would be wonderful if you found a guest sometime that could tie together the Japanese with Rhodes or any of the occult movements in the West.
Well, I think that's I've given you the best I have, and maybe somebody else has more. If anybody
right.
else knows, give us a call. But to send the
Emperor
Hirohito and the Order of the Garter, which is a secret occult movement going back to the 1400s. Hey, thanks so much. Again,
okay.
Our number
thank
is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we have Tony calling from San Jose. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, Dr. Stan. It's always good to hear you. You were mentioning John Loftus, and I read that in the Secret War Against the Jews about how the British royal family was where there were Nazi sympathizers.
Sure, but we can't let the British people know that. I mean, they're supposed to believe, you know, they're above politics. No, they weren't. This whole thing is an occult totalitarian movement.
Right. The previous caller had mentioned about why Hitler declared war on the United States shortly after Pearl Harbor. And I had read a story in American Heritage magazine where FDR released, he leaked a report into the New York Times, and the headline was America to Invade Hitler with 10 Million Man Army.
Oh, that was basically General Wedemeyer's report. I spent a couple of weekends with General Wedemeyer. He was in charge of the planning for the Second World War. And basically, of course, that was the plan. If we got into a war, that's what we were going to do. And actually, of course, the report was leaked, and President Roosevelt said, who leaked this? We've got to find who leaked this report. And basically, they actually threatened to prosecute General Wedemeyer for leaking the report. Actually, Roosevelt leaked the report, and then he accused Al Wedemeyer of having leaked it.
He just stole it. I was going to ask you that.
Right. That's what happened.
But that's what he did. He court-martialed Wedemeyer.
Right. In fact, the story is really told. Well, he did actually court-martial. We never got that far. That's called A Man Called Intrepid. That story is there and by William Stevenson. And he'll actually tell you that it was Roosevelt who leaked the story and then accused everybody else of doing it. But they do this sort of thing all the time. And basically, I mean, who could possibly believe that President Roosevelt would have leaked the report and then accused, Al Wedemeyer of doing that? Al Wedemeyer was very, very, well-liked at that time. And in fact, he was a personal friend of Roosevelt, but Roosevelt was quite willing to destroy him or anybody else. He was a ruthless, nasty man. And President Roosevelt was deeply involved in the occult himself.
Well, you pretty well covered what I wanted to talk about was Wedemeyer.
And, okay.
About how Hitler was quite provoked, and then I believe it was within 48 hours of that news story about the 10 million man army to invade Europe that Hitler made some snide remarks about, I'm not going to say it about Roosevelt, and then he declared war on us.
Well, no, he declared war after the September 7th attack, but they were all these things happened pretty close together. And you may very well be right. That may very well they were always manipulating poor old Adolf. He was not very smart, really.
Well, that was years ago. I read that article in American Heritage.
And I think that there may very well be a lot of truth in that. I'd forgotten that incident. But it is covered in a book called A Man Called Intrepid by William Stevenson, one of my favorite books, incidentally.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Okay, God bless. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got David calling from New York. Hi, David. Are you upstate New York?
Central New York.
Okay, well, how are you hearing us then?
Shortwave radio.
Okay, is it coming in pretty well?
Oh, loud and strong, real good.
Okay,
super.
Great. That's WHRI, so we're just really pleased with them. Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, my question is, the New World Order coming into existence, how long before it is settled in and grown to what it want to be, wants to be and become? And then what do you see after the New World Order is in place and all the fangs and octopus tentacles are wrapped around everything? Where do we stand then? What's going to happen then? What are the next few things? What are they going to implement?
Well, first of all, David, nobody knows what's going to happen. I wish I did, but then I'd be a prophet, and then if I was wrong, I'd get stoned to death. But nobody really knows. They've tried to do this over and over again. Alexander the Great was a student of the mystery religions. You can read about that in a book called Plutarch, The Age of Alexander. I believe that's the title, Plutarch, The Age of Alexander. And you can still get it on the Internet. Alexander the Great was going to reunite the world. It didn't work, and it's been tried time and time again. During the early years of the 20th century, Krishnamurti was going to come out, and he was going to be sort of the new world leader, and they were all set to have him, and it didn't work out. And certainly in 1980, Benjamin Krem ran ads in the New York Times and Reader's Digest, you know, that Christ is going to return and going to be here any time. And here we are 30 years later, and it hasn't happened. So certainly everything looks like it's in place, but maybe this whole financial structure is going to collapse. I mean, that would be the best thing if it did, because even though we would have a terrible suffering here in America, at least we might end up free. We're going to have terrible suffering whether this thing collapses or not. The question is, because they intentionally collapsing our economy. What's happening today is not by accident, it's by intent. They could solve it tomorrow by suddenly having the banks start lending money and putting tariffs on so we could protect American industry. They will not do those things because they want to destroy our economy. So what's going to happen? Well, I can tell you one thing, and that is we're in for very difficult times. And of course, I can say this because of the recent article by Richard Haass, a lead article written with Roger Altman in Foreign Affairs magazine. That's what the elitists read. And Richard Haass is the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's not at the present time. Yeah.
How does this terrible conditions we're coming into play into the hands of the Antichrist? Anything?
Well, basically, of course, they want to unite the world. And Henry Kissinger says that, you know, out of this crisis will come this unified world system. He says countries are going to have two choices: join this new international order or face chaos. That's what this whole collapse is about. They want to bring chaos. There'll be rioting at our streets and demonstrations as they lower our living standards and people lose their homes or are impoverished. And out of that chaos, they hope is going to come the one world government. Hey, hang on there, David. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program.
Okay.
David, go right ahead. But basically, I believe that they are going to take us into a situation of chaos, and they believe that out of that will come the world order. Will it? I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see, because everybody first looks at...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Working for world government since Cecil Rhodes established his secret society in 1891. So what are we talking about? 109 years they've been working at it, and they're doing a pretty good job. No, I guess almost 119 years, 119 years, something like that. Anyway, we're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out, David, and just keep listening and encourage others to listen.
Right. Well, thank you very much. I don't miss hardly any of your shows.
God bless. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, I hope that you're out there in the listening audience, and I just need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. It's an expensive proposition to do what we do. We have $5,000 a month simply for our shortwave broadcasts. But, you know, we want to reach people, and a lot of people can't reach us any other way. Of course, the satellite is available. You can get yourself an inexpensive satellite system, and no charge once you get it installed. We do have our internet programs. You can listen to them there on iPod or an MP3 or certainly the archive programs. You can even listen to my afternoon programs on Genesis if you have the telephone, and just if you dial in 1-760-LOW-SO-11. That's 760-LOW-SO-11. Or go to our website, you get the exact telephone number, but you can listen to that 24 hours a day. You can listen to our programs by the miracle of just your telephone if you have unlimited minutes. The information is there, and you have to help us get it out. Feel free to pull down our newsletters and copy them and circulate them. And then, of course, we have our CDs for our latest seminar. They're available. They're 5 CDs, and you can get them individually. You can get them together by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's cheaper to get them all together. Again, the number 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the great new DVD we're carrying on, The Secret of Oz. It's William Still's story of the financial system. And, of course, The Wizard of Oz was an allegory. And remember the Golden Road, and certainly all of the characters there were simply figures in this whole financial scam that was going on at the beginning of the 20th century when the story was written. The Wizard of Oz. Well, this is The Secret of Oz, the story of the financial system. We got a great DVD. It's called The Watchers, and it goes into the supernatural element of what's going on. That's The Watchers. If you haven't heard my talk on the planned police state. It comes with a syllabus. You need to get it. You need to understand that it's really real. And if you have the syllabus, you can show the documentation to other people. They do plan a police state. You go up to the Internet and certainly I'll pull down the Jesse Ventura programs on the police state or on the concentration camps. It's up there on YouTube, and people have been saying it's been pulled down, but you can actually see it. I pulled it down the other day. Go to the Jesse Ventura, listen to his programs. They're excellent. So our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I do have to mention that we are primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help financially, we'd love to hear from you. It's getting towards the end of the year, and things are a little bit tight, so if you're in a position to help, why, we'd like to end the year at least in the black or at least in the gray. So if you can help, our number 1-800-544-8927. If not, why, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we know there are a lot of people out there that are really hurting, that are having difficulties. And then, of course, we once again suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read it. You need to reread it. You need to understand we are in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And there are powerful satanic forces. They're not imaginary. They're real. They're here. And, of course, they do have their satanic covens. They do have their satanic meetings. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Fletcher, who, of course, got caught up in the web of the Iran-Contra. He was actually had a business, and he had a business partner who bought half the business. He didn't realize he was working for the CIA, and it was being his organization was being used for gun smuggling. And that must have come as quite a surprise to you, Bob.
Yes, sir. I was really set back there. I had been running a very nice little business on my way to making a couple of $1 million, the old American dream, and all of a sudden I was in the middle of something that I didn't even understand, for starters. And I was not politically oriented at all, but it certainly changed my life when I realized that the government that we think is representing the American people was half of it or two-thirds of it was a secret operation, and that they were carrying out all sorts of scurrilous activities that I surprisingly became a part of right in the middle of it. And, of course, that was, at that time, it was the Iran-Contra business.
Oh, well, I've actually seen certain of the government testimony, and there, you know, suddenly we're watching this program, DVD, and then they flash somebody testifying before Congress, and it's Bob Fletcher. How many times did you testify before Congress or congressional committees?
Well, actually, in terms of actual testimony, was a one time with the Senate Intelligence Committee, before the Senate Intelligence Committee. And then prior to that, however, and profusely after that for several years, I became involved with several different congressional and Senate inquiries, and I was dealing directly, for the most part, with the congressmen or the senators or the speakers of the House or the head of different committees that were investigating a variety of what would be considered to be governmental secret operations and, of course, things that were illegal. And I ended up being involved with probably about five or six very serious inquiries, and then, of course, one which I unfortunately, I believe, led to the death of Sonny Bono. And I ended up being called after doing two or three of these. One office would refer me to another office, or vice versa. They would simply say, you're going to investigate this. Well, that involves this personality who's involved with this one, and they did this and they did that, and Mr. Fletcher has a lot of information about it. So I ended up being, like I say, dragged into the middle of probably five or maybe even six very serious inquiries.
Well, because Bob has done some wonderful work. He has some wonderful DVDs, which we carry, and we'll tell you more about them. But he certainly became an investigative journalist after this. And, of course, he's become an investigative video journalist, producing actually initially videos and now, of course, DVDs. But we want to just talk a little bit about Pearl Harbor tonight. You know, it's certainly, what, 69 years, something like that, since attack on Pearl Harbor. And, you know, it's really such a tragedy because I don't think most people really realize that the government knew it was coming and they left those boys there to die. That is the most tragic situation. Fortunately, the information is out. The Freedom of Information Act has come up with the reports. But what are your thoughts on it, Bob, looking back now 69 years, between December 7th, 1941?
You know, what's interesting is that my mother was in the hospital about to deliver a new baby boy, and that was myself.
Okay. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, I'm glad that everything came out all right as far as that was concerned. Actually, I was about, I was about 12 years old at the time, 1941. So you're about 12 years younger than I am.
I'm just a youngster, that's right. But, and I mentioned that just because it was always a story, of course, you know, that she was in the hospital, just prior to my birth. And they were had to have, it was after, a little bit after the 7th of 1941 when the attack on Pearl Harbor took place. So they were doing blackouts and all of that while, blacking out the windows and shutting off the lights and doing these bomb exercises, concerned for follow-up attacks. Of course, what bothers me, I guess, is besides this, of course, we lost an awful lot of young men, sailors on the ships that were surprised and were sunk without even having much of a retaliatory operations at all, without having opportunity to even load the guns almost before they were totally bombarded and on a sneak attack. And we, of course, lost thousands of guys. And what's bothered me, of course, since then is the realization, apparently, that the United States government had completely broken the Japanese secret code and all of their communication codes. And for a few months prior to this event, we actually had been reading all of their top secret codes and were able to translate them. And we knew at a very high level, apparently, we knew that this attack was going to take place. And I guess that's really a very troubling every year that the celebration or the memorial comes around for December 7th of 1941. It bothers me a little bit because I'm also aware of several other similar types of secret operations where our government either directly participated or planned to or in the middle of doing some kind of an act or permitting something to happen that would move the people that are in power forward, either politically or financially, because of some type of a secret, an event that actually is against the United States people, such as the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Bob was simply talking about how disillusioned it is to realize that they knew the attack was coming, and they did not try to protect those boys at Pearl Harbor. And, of course, I have firsthand knowledge because when I was doing research on Colonel House back at Yale University, where Colonel House's papers and diary are, incidentally, that's been suppressed to this very day. I'm one of the few people who have a complete copy of Colonel House's diary, or almost complete. There in the Sterling Library, the papers of Secretary of War Stimson, I went through his diary, and we made copies of it, certainly the time around Pearl Harbor. And then on the entry on November 25th, as you know, I went to the White House today, and there was General Stark and Admiral Stark and General Marshall and Secretary of the Navy Knox, and of course Stimson was the Secretary of the Army. So there was just four of them and President Roosevelt. And the diary says, you know, and President Roosevelt said, well, the Japanese usually have a sneak attack, and I figure the attack is going to probably come next Monday. That'll be the perfect time. He was about a week off. Now, of course, but the attack was not the following Monday. It was on a week from Monday. But President Roosevelt told us we had to get into war with Japan. The only question was how we would get into a war with Japan and get the Japanese to fire the first shot. Now, he did not, at least according to Simpson, mention the attack coming on Pearl Harbor, but they knew it was coming there, certainly, because, of course, now, through the Freedom of Information Act, why Robert Stinnett got, of course, a lot of secret government documents and found the plan that Roosevelt was following for the attack on Pearl Harbor. And we actually have a four-tape set, my interviews with Robert Stinnett and other people who knew what was happening and, of course, the plan on Pearl Harbor. And they left the boys there to die. But they had to have an incident to get us into a war. And a lot of people justify that. Well, we had to get in the war. Maybe it was all right to lie to the American people. Well, that's what they lied to the American people about the attack on the Maine, sinking the Maine back in 1898. They lied to the American people about the sinking of the Lusitania. And they lied to the American people about Pearl Harbor, and they lied to the American people about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and they lied to the American people about what happened on September 11th, because that was controlled demolition. Those buildings came down at the speed of gravity, and if there'd been a pancake collapse, why, of course, there would have been resistance. And besides that, you wouldn't have vaporized almost 1,000 bodies. You wouldn't have vaporized all the furniture. You wouldn't have vaporized all the telephones. You wouldn't have vaporized all the cement and all the floor steel trusses. You had to do something. You do not vaporize steel or blow it out 600 or 800 feet with big beams, 50-foot steel beams being blown sideways. You can actually see them in the pictures that taken that day. So we've never gotten the truth about what happened on 9/11, but they needed an excuse to get us into a war in the Middle East. That's what it was all about. And, of course, now increasingly I'm convinced that this was all about wanting to bankrupt the United States, because this war is bankrupting us, and certainly before long, well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Pearl Harbor before we get into the discussion of how they are bankrupting America today?
Well, no, I think the important point, though, is that that since that discovery has been made, and like you went down a list of several other situations where corrupted persons in government have falsely created something participated or permitted it to take place that would put us into, again, some either a war or a situation that we could point the finger or at least a move against somebody else. And, of course, it is always a two- or three-fold situation. It's the plain old make money off of the wars. Wars are the best financial gain for those people that are in that position. You just make billions and billions, and we tend to just not even keep track of the money. The money goes in 100 directions when we're in these wars, and there's billions upon billions stolen every time we have a small to a medium-sized war, and we have those at least every 10 years. So, no, I don't have anything else on that. I did want to point out a couple of other interesting points that that are identical to what we're talking to, and that is, of course, like the in 1962, the discovery recently of the classified, formerly top secret Northwoods project, which was a situation for those people that are not aware of it, where the Joint Chiefs of Staff had gotten together, and this was when Kennedy was still involved with the leadership, and they were planning how to put together a phony attack to make it appear that an airline or some other group of Americans, probably an airliner filled with Americans, was going to be shot down by the Cubans, and we would have a reason to go in, justification to go and move forward and attack Cuba.
And that was a top secret attack. It was called, known as Operation Northwood. You can get it on the internet, or actually we have it in total in our syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story. Iraq, the Untold Story. It's a syllabus, got a lot of the documentation. We talk about a letter from the American ambassador to Germany in 1936, asking why the American corporations were actually building up the German war machine. Why would American corporations be doing that? The ambassador Dodd didn't understand, but we have the entire text of Operation Northwood, which was a joint cease of staff, a plan to create an incident, whether it be killing John Glenn, who was going up on his space capsule, or killing a lot of Americans, you know, with a feigned attack on Guantanamo Bay, or sinking some American ships, or shooting down a plane that was or appeared to be full of Americans, but to engender support for an attack on Fidel Castro. They were talking about murdering Americans, and these were members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They said this was agreed to by General Lemitzer, was actually agreed to, I believe, by McNamara, but when it got to John Kennedy, he said, no way are we going to do something like that. We don't want to go to war with Cuba, or to feign, to pretend an attack, to kill Americans. We're not going to do that. And I think he made an awful lot of enemies in the military because he wasn't willing to go along with killing Americans so we could do something good, like going in and killing Fidel Castro.
It's absolutely amazing. And what's important for people to realize, this is not things that I'm talking about or Stan's talking about. These are not just conversational things or concepts or ideas that we think took place. This is all, verifiable, and like I said, you can look these things up yourself now on computer, on the internet, and find the actual paperwork itself.
Or you can get it from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Just ask for Iraq, the Untold Story, the syllabus. Hopefully you'll get the DVD with it, because it's an important story to understand. They're quite willing to kill an awful lot of Americans to justify getting us into a war, but you need an incident to get the American people to go along. Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin, 9/11, sinking of the Maine, sinking of the Lusitania. Go right ahead, Bob.
And the other one, the last one, unfortunately not the last one, but another one of great importance, was the destruction and the blowing up of the federal building in Oklahoma in 1995, the Murrah building. And this was absolutely, and it was one they'd gotten away with, just like they had on so many previously. This was absolutely done as a covert operation. Now, part of my testimony with the Senate Intelligence Committee had gotten into that. And after appearing before the Senate, Senator Arlen Specter got a hold of me at my home later on, and he said, would you put together a report, because you had said several things, you had implied several things in reference to a covert operation that had blown up the Oklahoma building, and would you, in fact, do some kind of a report for me on that? I said, yes, I'd be glad to, and I even told him, I think at that time, I said, when I do it, you're probably not going to like it because it's going to point fingers, you know, right into the offices next door to where you're sitting right now. And I did finish it. It took a little longer than it should have. And when I sent it to him, this was very interesting, I waited for a response, and it was about 2 weeks, and I did not get one. I got back to him and I said, what's happening? You asked me for this report. I sent it, and even if you didn't like it, I would appreciate a response. And he said that he had not gotten it. And I had sent it very specifically. Actually, it had actually been hand-delivered into his offices in Washington. So he told me, he said, sometimes things disappear up here. So he asked me to send it again and to send it to his Philadelphia offices, which I did. And after about a month, I still never got a response. So the reason certainly was, and by the way, you can get the bulk of that report. People can get that. It's called the Oklahoma Bombs, plural, and that's at my website. Or you have it also, Stan, I believe. People can get it through through yourself. And that particular report has most of the information, but not all of it, because I had made a startling discovery in 1996, about 6 months later.
Well, what was that then? No, actually, it's not in a video.
Yes, it is a DVD.
Oh, it is a DVD.
Yes,
no,
I don't know if you have. I think
no,
you do.
No, I don't. I've never seen that. I would love to see it.
Okay, well, we'll see that you get that.
All right, what was your startling discovery you made?
Well, to my surprise, of course, we were sure, and because of actually going over the actual live video of the bombing of the building, they actually pulled a minimum of two other bombs out of the building. And, of course, technically, General Parton, who I had worked with on...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Go right ahead, Bob.
I had worked with General Parton.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Basically, of course, I guess it was been at the conference. Basically, he was in Oklahoma City, and he actually just a couple of weeks beforehand, he had a big building there, and he was an expert on explosives. And of course, Bob feels that his former partner in Oklahoma City probably played a major part in planting the explosives, or providing the explosives that built up the Murrah Building, because there were obviously explosives in the building. If you've actually seen the pictures of the so they are basically they put an excellent material out on this, and we actually have pictures of this. We have a couple of DVDs on Oklahoma City, but basically you can actually see areas where the sheetrock is intact on these vertical beams, right next to beams that have been blown up and exploded. Now, if they had come from outside, you wouldn't see the sheetrock there. Obviously, there was explosives on the individual beams and the cutting charges that took the beams down and killed all those people. But we cannot let the American people know that, because actually Oklahoma City was to get through the anti-terrorist legislation, get through the Patriot Act. They wanted, of course, to use that attack to get through the legislation, and when it failed, well, then, of course, we had to have 911. But go ahead, Bob.
Yes, and the big point of this, of course, and there are several points to it. Number one is that Gary Best has done absolutely nothing in his life except since 35, 40 years now. All he has done is supply weapons and explosives and covert military equipment for secret wars and events for the United States government. That's all he does. And when he goes over and buys a hamburger processing company, again, this was called Harris Meat Company, they never functioned. He closed it down, going into a transition when he bought it approximately 60 to 90 days before the Murrah Building was blown up. He went in, he brought in the governor. That was interesting, because he brought the governor, Keating, involved with this. I was able to get paperwork out of Keating's offices. I was able to get an internal memo, and it was from a publicist that did public relations for the governor, and he had sent a note to the governor, and he said, I just found out that the Gary Best character with the meat company is a secret agent for the CIA, and you're going to have to, my suggestion is that you stand down away from any further contact. And that's a personal note, an internal, that I was able to secure. And this was, unfortunately, within 96, was a full year after the event. What Gary Best proceeded to do, and by the way, he bought this company using the same corporate name that he had utilized when he bought my company 10 years earlier, and the same corporate name that he was utilizing in Russia when he was delivering arms to the Azeri, the Azerbaijan, and the Armenians. Yeah, there were two sides, and he was supplying them both weapons, working, by the way, both for Russia and the United States government. But anyhow, to get back to the obvious point is, since this fella does nothing except covert explosives and weapons, the chances of him being there coincidentally in the middle of a major multi-million-dollar war that he actually had going on in Azerbaijan and in Armenia, it's too far to believe to be coincidental. And he proceeded, interestingly enough, to file complete bankruptcy on his operation there, the little meat company, on the anniversary date 1 year later of April the 19th, 1996, in Oklahoma City. The anniversary date of the bombing was when he filed the former declaration of bankruptcy, which is what he does on an ongoing basis. The small businesses that he utilizes as covert fronts are bankrupted on a regular basis when he's done with it.
All right, fine. Of course, our guest, of course, is Bob Flesher, and we're looking forward to getting that story of the Oklahoma City bombing. No, that's one we don't have. I'd love to know what the information you have. Certainly, we have information. Certainly, we know that Timothy McVeigh wrote his sister, Jennifer, and told her that, he was actually working for the Special Forces Unit involved in illegal activity. He told the same thing to Donald Hammer, who was in prison with him. Donald Hammer wrote a book. You can get it on Amazon, A Secret Worth Dying For. He said the same thing to Terry Nichols, who told this to Jesse Tretidou, his attorney, and we've talked to Jesse about that. And then, of course, Timothy McVeigh told his cellmate, I won't be able to get out of here until I'm executed. And one of the women who witnessed the execution said, I didn't know you breathed after you were dead.
While the storm clouds gather, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Flesher, and Bob, pick up the story from there.
Well, so it's, and then there are several other little bits and pieces, but it apparently, to my surprise, apparently the scurrilous character, Gary Best, that had taken over my business, et cetera, and done so much damage to me, was, in fact, involved with the Oklahoma bombing. I'm just positive. It's a personal opinion, but supported with an awful lot of background. Interestingly enough, when I found out that he was filing bankruptcy, I contacted the lawyer in Oklahoma that was representing many, many people in Oklahoma that Gary Best had gotten to invest thousands, actually millions of dollars in the meat company that never got off the ground. This also is a kind of a sidebar, so to speak, that Mr. Best does, and that is to drag other people into this these operations, and then he steps away from them, and whatever's left there, whenever it hits the fan, as they say, other people are the ones that get hit with it. And I contacted the lawyer, and I asked him if he was aware of these specifics, and I sent him information relative to the companies that he was utilizing as primary stockholders. What he had done was he would take this oil company that he had artificially created in Azerbaijan, Russia, for the weapons operation, and he used that oil company as the major stockholder so that if there was any value at all to the meat company when they bankrupted it, he would get it all back under his other corporation. And the lawyers representing several people that were losing thousands and thousands of dollars in this deal, when I brought him the papers, he was able to show that it was a false transfer of assets.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Bob's been on the front line of a lot of various issues, and he was talking about how the man who had actually stolen his company and was actually a CIA agent, he was there in Oklahoma City, setting up a meat a hamburger company only a few blocks away from the Murrah building. And, of course, it obviously never produced any hamburger. A lot of people lost their money. But, Bob, before we go on at this point, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website and get your information.
Sure. We do have several reports, including the Bombs of Oklahoma, which is available, and the website. The best way to get a hold of us is through our website, which is simply bobfletcherinvestigations.com. And that has a good little catalog there. It explains most of the investigations and what's available. And so you contact us simply through bobfletcherinvestigations.com. You can reach us. And or several of them of our DVD reports are available through Stan, if you'd like to contact Stan.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on financially, because, of course, more and more people are losing their homes. More and more people are losing their jobs. This report came out just a week ago, showed that the unemployment had gone from 9.6% to 9.8%. Of course, they tell us everything's getting better, you know, when new businesses are opening and exports are picking up, and then we find that the businesses are closing down and exports are decreasing. They give us all this conflicting information, and it's hard to tell what is really going on. But, of course, you know, why are we having all this problem? Why are so many people losing their home? Close to 200,000 people have lost their homes. 2 million people have lost their homes since January of 2009, the last 2 years. Certainly, another four and a quarter million homes are in some state of foreclosure, and many more people are going to lose their homes. Now, how are you going to get an economy going if this is happening? Why do they tell us things are going to get better and better when things seem to be getting worse and worse? In fact, those of you who saw Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Fed, speaking on 60 Minutes on Sunday evening, he was asked what's going to happen. He said, well, it's going to be maybe another 5 years before things begin turning around. And he didn't seem very optimistic when he said 5 years. I think probably 10 years, 10, 20 years, because they're doing everything possible that's wrong. And they know that, and Ben Bernanke knows it, but they can't come out and tell the American people that they're intentionally collapsing our economy. You go right ahead, Bob, and I'd like your opinion on what's going on and where we stand and what's going to happen.
Yeah, sure. And the what's upsetting, whatever, personally for myself, and it is for you as well, is that both of us and several other people have been trying to bring to the people's attention for maybe the last 15 to 20 years of what's going on. And it's this huge, scurrilous activity of slowly putting us into a world government. And, of course, 15 years ago when I talked about this and doing a lot of public speaking, et cetera, and appearances, you know, and there was always that handful of people, of course, that would just say, you know, this is just ridiculous. Why would they do this? Why? And I was predicting at that time that one of the primary events that's going to have to take place in order to move us into a single, large, under one big umbrella, a world government, is going to be that they're going to have to bankrupt the country. When they bankrupt the country, where we are just totally no longer have enough production to even have any serious production at all. We have no more raw materials being mined. We are no longer manufacturing the top of the hill. We're no longer the top in terms of education with our children. Once they get us into that position and can act, literally make our budget unable to be balanced, the bills unable to be paid, we are a bankrupted nation. The president, whomever it is at that time, would step forward and just say, out of sheer necessity, we're going to have to do something really radical. The world is now affected. We're going to have to agree to a world government, and we're going to have to agree to some kind of a quasi-socialistic, parliamentary-type government, and we'll have to eliminate the Constitution. And what they've done here just today, where they've now gone with this agreement between the parties of extending the tax cut extensions, extending the tax cut agreements that have been put in several years ago by Bush, that permits a tremendous tax break for the wealthy, people making over $1 million or $5 million a year or more. They will almost end up paying nothing at all. They will have this tremendous tax break. The lower levels also will have tax breaks. But simultaneously, they agree to extend the payments on all unemployment and a whole list, a whole litany of other entitlements, to several, in many, many directions financially. So here we do, in a single day, they say we're going to keep guaranteeing the expenditures on these entitlements. We're going to extend unemployment. We're not going to, there's no other special benefits or moves out here financially to assist in industry expansion. And we're also going to agree that we're not going to have any money coming in. We're giving these tax breaks to the multi-million dollar income here person, and we're going to just cut this huge amount of potential income that's going to come to the government to pay the bills, and we're going to increase the bill. I mean, it's so flagrant, it's so out in front that it's shocking. It's one of these things. How could you? If you take an average family, two or three kids in a family, and a husband and a wife, and the husband comes home and says, "Hey, listen, I bought another house today up the street, and I bought you a new car, and I bought a new car for myself, and I bought wardrobes for all of the children, and a boat, and a recreational vehicle, and also I quit my job today." That's what they did today in Washington. They guaranteed everybody that they would put all these entitlements and expand them and keep the money going out on the left hand, and on the right hand, they said, but we're not going to be bringing in any more money from people that are on a tax basis.
But, of course, what they're really doing, Bob, is running up a tremendous debt now, because this is a wonderful thing. Everybody likes tax cuts. I love tax cuts. But logic tells me you can't cut taxes and increase spending indefinitely, because sooner or later you're going to get into trouble. And basically that's what they did. They renewed the unemployment benefits for IO for a year. Everybody's going to get their unemployment benefits. But where's the money coming from? Well, they're not worried where the money is coming from. That's the problem. And then, of course, if you for your laborer, why are you going to get 2% less instead of paying, 7% on your Social Security and Medicare deductions? Why are you probably only going to pay 5% or 4%, something like that? So they're going to cut down the amount of money coming into the government. They're going to increase the expenditures. And then, of course, what happens down the line? Well, you simply borrow the money. That's the whole idea. You incur debt.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens right now? Right, of course, the debt on the interest on the debt is about $500 billion a year. But what happens when interest rates go up? Right now, they're very low. What happens when interest rates go up to 7%, 8%, 10%? I can remember at one time, of course, when they were getting 18%. That was about 1980, 18% interest. And the interest on the national debt was pushing 8% to 10%. Well, at that point, of course, all the money that comes into the government has to go to pay interest on the national debt. And then what happens at that time? Well, there's no money. There's no money for Social Security and Medicare. There's no money for the military. There's no money for the congressman's salaries. Well, that really doesn't sound so bad to me. Maybe they'd go home and get an honest job. But basically, this is what happens. And by next year, our gross domestic product will be about $14.7 trillion, and our debt will be about $14.7 trillion. In other words, our debt will equal or exceed our gross domestic product, and at that time, it's unsustainable. What happens? The whole system begins to collapse, and people start lending you money. And, of course, this is what's going to happen. Other countries won't lend us money. Then how do we then pay for the debt? Well, we simply print the money. But that's highly inflationary. Well, Ben Bernanke says there's nothing to worry about when of course, it looks like there's going to be inflation. Then we'll stop, you know, this quantitative easing. But how do you stop? How do you come up with the money to make the government run? This is what happened in the Weimar Republic. This is what happened in Zimbabwe. This is what happened in Argentina. This has happened hundreds of times down through the centuries. And it always ends up one way, disaster. But go ahead, Bob.
To give people a good handle, and the rest of the average citizens out here really can't get a handle on what I'm about to say. But as of a couple of months ago, the United States owed China $772 billion. I don't even know how to write that properly. It would take me a couple of minutes to sit down and figure out how many zeros to put on that. It's $772 billion is what the United States owes China. And the Chinese also, by the way, just a short while back, bought up Japan's debt, bought their entire debt. And the interesting thing that's going on here that's so scary. On the one hand, we're talking about bankrupting the country, the nation of the United States, being totally washed out, possibly within 6 months, maybe 9 months, just totally, completely bankrupt with coming forward and admitting that the United States is terminated as a viable financial entity. And at the same time, China is making so much money and is such a strength position that they're spending money. People would look at the major cities in China, they're mind-boggling. They have skyscrapers and buildings and railroad systems and things going on in China that makes the New York City look like it's 1895. It's unbelievable. They've leaped so far forward in such a short period of time. So where that's going to lead us, and when we finally reach the point where these bad guys are going to pull this presentation to the American people and saying we're going to have to merge into a world government, what position are we going to have in world government when that happens, when China is at is probably about a 10-to-1 leadership position financially? It's really, really scary. And you don't see these figures unless you dig into, you have to really do some scraping around to look at find out what the real figures are. You're not going to see this on the evening news.
But, of course, the thing is, Bob, that the miracle, the miraculous growth that they have in China, largely funded by the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Asian Development Bank, American banks, certainly, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, certainly. We are actually encouraging our corporations to move over there and to build their buildings. And, of course, they're getting help as far as building their factories over there from American banks. And basically, of course, we give any bank that moves overseas, we give them tax breaks. And people who are offshoring their jobs, CEOs, they get higher salaries. They're rewarded for sending our jobs away. We've actually sent 8 million jobs out of America, and they're not coming home. And the reason we've done it is because the real policies of both political parties is this globalist policy is to build up the economy of other nations and, of course, contract the economy in the United States. Once you understand that, now you understand why they're encouraging workers to come in with H-1B visas to take American jobs, why, of course, they are certainly allowing illegal immigration, encouraging illegal immigration, doing everything they can to bring the illegal immigrants into here to drain the money out of this country. When you understand the whole idea is to lower living standards in America and to raise living standards over in China, and recently, why, of course, the Asian Development Bank guaranteed, and of course with American taxpayers' dollars, guaranteed the loans for 5 nuclear power plants being built in China by Westinghouse, which is a Japanese company. We are doing everything we can to build up the economy of India and of China and Malaysia as we lower the living standards here. And it's being done intentionally and purposely. If you read Richard Haass's recent article, he talks about how we're moving into austerity, how we're going to have lower living standards and move into austerity. Get the article, recent issue of Foreign Affairs Magazine. Go to your library, read it, copy it, get your friends to read it. Understand what's going ahead. They're going to impoverish the American people. And do it intentionally and purposely, and not one person in 1,000 has any idea what's going on. What are your thoughts, Bob?
Yeah, and that's absolutely true, and it's a shame. And you can't, those of you who are strong Republicans or those of you that may be strong Democrats of one party or another, or followers of the new Tea Party, the bottom line is you can't point a finger at any one of those parties. You can't say it was their fault or it was that one's fault that put us into this. This has been a 50-year program, if not more, but at least, believe it or not, it's a 50-year program to put us into this non-reversible financial position. And it involves it's an extremely complex system that they've been working on to carry out these wars and do the treasury notes, securities, and buying and selling and interdependency and borrowing money from and placing our industries and permitting other nations to take the number one position in industry and in raw material mining. We do, if you look back 50 years ago, we were pretty much number one in almost everything. And if you look at it now, we're pretty much 25, like our education. We're about 25th in line.
And that's been done intentionally. Not only have they dumbed down our young students, but they poison them. They poison their minds with aspartame. They poison their minds with mercury. They poison their minds with aluminum. They poison their minds with fluoride and water. And they know exactly what they're doing. They don't want an intelligent population. They want a subservient population. After all, you don't want intelligent slaves, do you? Certainly, this is why our students do so poorly when they're tested in competition with students from elsewhere. In fact, at the recent testing in math, we were 25th, you know. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, and of course, you know, unfortunately, I always feel my hands are tied.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
And the anti-communists, both the socialist and the anti-socialist, both the pro-war and the anti-war. It's the oldest game in the world. And then, of course, you fund your major enemy, whether it be the Viet Cong or the Al-Qaeda and Taliban aspects. Hey, we're out of time, Bob. It's always a pleasure. Hey, thanks very much for coming on in short order.
Sure, thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, Chris, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly recommend Bob Fletcher's DVDs. We have them. We have them on Sonny Bono, on weather warfare, on mind control. I didn't know about this one on the Oklahoma City bombing, but we'll be carrying that as well. You just go to our website, radioliberty.com, and look up the interviews. The DVDs by Bob Fletcher, or call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. They're all excellent. And he's got one on JFK assassination. He's got one on weather modification. He's got one on UFOs. Bob does great work, and we certainly applaud him. We have other excellent DVDs. The Watchers, going into the supernatural element of what's going on today. And cattle mutilations, alien implants, UFOs. That's The Watchers. We've got the new DVD, The Secret of Oz. It's William Sills, the story of the money situation. And The Wizard of Oz, the story, was really an allegory about the monetary system. William Sills, The Secret of Oz, we recommend it. You need to get my talk on the planned police state. You need to get my talk on the planned population reduction. Ladies and gentlemen, they are poisoning your children today. You need to get my talk on the hidden agenda, and the syllabus that goes with that is very important. It's the story of water fluoridation, and basically they're poisoning your children and your grandchildren, and they know exactly what you're doing. And you, if you want to get that, all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can watch our videos for nothing. You can listen to our programs for nothing. iPod, MP3. You can hear them on the telephone. If you have a telephone with unlimited minutes, you can listen 24 hours a day to our program at 3 and 4 in the afternoon on Genesis. And then, of course, there's Sydney. You can get our program on shortwave, on the Internet, on satellite, and then on radio stations all across America. It is an expensive proposition. If you're in a position to help, we'd certainly appreciate it if you could step forward now, because a lot of our listeners are really hurting. And if you're not in a position to help, well, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you certainly would like to get yourself a big Berkey, if you'd like to get enough supply of long-term storage food, if you'd like to get health supplies, we have those. We carry the Miracle 2 products. We carry an awful lot of products. Excellent. Your Christmas present, certainly, is the in Newell Oler's music. We have the CDs, unique talent that Newell's gone now, but of course we have his music, we carry it. And a wonderful gift, really, Newell Oler's music. It's truly inspiring. First time I ever heard it, I was just enthralled with it. We eventually got to go down and meet Newell, and Sydney, we carry the CDs. There are probably five or six of them. You can get them individually or get them together as a part of a packet. I should comment that our CDs for our annual conference are now ready with the five CDs, five speakers we had. And you get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, we'll be back. And hopefully we'll be able to get John Loftus, who we didn't get this evening. But I do want you to hear his amazing story of America's Nazi secrets. You'll want to get his book. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for caring about your world, doing something about it, and also wanting to know about the frauds. Unfortunately, we have to address the frauds in life, because the more we learn about what's not true, the more we learn about what we need to know to be living the life we want to live, well, that's what the Power Hour is all about. And I thank each and every one of you joining us today. And this is a shout out to Mary out there who says that she just wakes up every morning and she says, could you not be quite so emoting in the morning? I'm just waking up to you. I thought that was so cute, and I appreciate her very much. She's one of our customers for many, many years. I will hold it down a little bit until you get awake, Mary. And I thank you all very much for joining us today and spending your time with us. It is an honor to sit in this seat, to be able to have you join us, talk about what's on your mind, and learn more about what we've been told to believe. And that's what we'll be talking about in the second hour with Robert Stinnett. The book, Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another Rock Your World show. Why? Because we were lied to. Isn't it the way it is? Well, On the news front today, if you're watching television, what you're hearing is Julian Assange has now surrendered. That's right, he is in custody. He has surrendered, and are you ready for what Interpol has basically arrested him for? Failure to wear protection. I kid you not. Failure to wear protection. Worldwide hunt for Julian Assange has now ended. He is in custody, has surrendered himself. We'll talk about that. And what's to come? Is it going to be the doomsday documents now that he is in custody? Is he going to have them released? A lot of people are asking that question. So we will talk about Julian Assange, more about Julian Assange. It's, you know, it's interesting to watch the media take the left, or take as juxtaposed positions as you can get on this. Some saying, oh yeah, he's a traitor, we ought to arrest him, the bad guy needs to go. Then you hear other people saying, wait a minute, he is trying to expose what the country is doing wrong, and we need to let him, and people need to be allowed to do this. So this is really a head game, unfortunately, for those of us who are trying to figure out what is really behind this scenario. Because it is important that we understand that some of the documents that have been released show how the Arab allies have been funding terror groups. Now, if this is true, that the Arab allies, maybe the United States, who knows, have been funding the terror groups, then does that mean that the terror groups are really not the terror groups that we thought they were? They're created terror groups. And the senators now,